But I'm excited today to have the opportunity to come, you know, to you and share something. I really wanted to share it probably about 2 years ago, but obviously I'm not begging to get to the pulpit, you know. I mean, so if Pastor Bob invites me, then, you know, I'll say yes. But it's kind of along the lines of what Julie said. The title of the message is Red Letters. And Bob was telling me about a black preacher who said the red letters are like the hot sauce in the Bible. So how many of y'all like hot sauce? Good? All right. I'm actually going to be here next week, too. So it's a two-part series. So, yes, a two-part series. So anyway, let's pray over the word, and then we'll get into it. Father, we just come before you. We thank you for everything you're doing in our lives, and we thank you that for everything you're doing in this church, and really for the body of Christ around the world. And we just invite you here. I ask, Lord, that you would heal those that need to be healed, that you would refresh those that need to be refreshed, and that you would be honored today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I felt a little compelled to share with you about my testimony about when I gave my life to Christ a second time, because it's going to tie into what I want to talk about. And I was just about to turn 21. I'd given my life to God when I was 13, walked with the Lord for a couple of years, and then I said no to church. I thought it was religious. I didn't like it. And so I just went the way of the world. And my kids are here, and there's junior high here, so I'm going to keep it at a G level. But if you grew up in the 80s and the 90s and you went the way of the world, you know what I'm talking about. And so I was about to turn 21. I was living with my brother, and I had big plans when I, you know, a whole lifestyle of sin when I turned 21. But I had a friend who invited me to this Bible study. And I put her off again and again and again and again until finally I just broke down. I said, okay, I'll go. But I know what it's going to be like. You know, God's going to tell me to quit drinking, quit doing this, quit doing that. And she says, God's not going to tell you to do any of that. He just wants you to come. That's it. And I was like, well, if I don't have to quit anything, I'll come to the Bible study. And so I went to the Bible study, and it was Hank and Trudy Rodriguez. I was friends with their son growing up. I knew them. I've been in their house several times. But this night was different. I went to this Bible study, and I actually honestly don't even know what they were studying. The dominating thought in my head was, these are real Christians. Like, I'm in the presence of real Christians. And I just kept thinking about that. And I was just almost awestruck. And at the end of the night, Hank, I was sitting on the couch, and Hank was right here, and he was like, did you like the Bible study? And I said, yeah, I mean, yeah. And he said, well, would you like me to pray for you? And I mean, yeah. I mean, that's sure. And he started praying for me. And I don't remember the whole prayer, but I do remember this part. He says, Father, I ask that you just bless Chris. And I'm sitting here with my eyes closed, and I'm thinking, I can't be blessed. I'm living in darkness. I was just at the club the other night, and then the night before, and then last week. There's no way on God's green earth I can be blessed. And he just kept praying, and I was like, I can't be blessed. I can't be blessed. I know I'm living in darkness. And then after the prayer, he says, have you ever asked Jesus Christ in your life? I said, yeah, I did when I was 13. And he says, well, where are you at right now? And I was like, well, I mean, I'm pretty far away. And he said, would you like to rededicate your life? And I said, you can do that? And he said, you can do that. And I didn't know you could do that. I thought that once you went the way of the world, that's what it was. I had no idea that you could rededicate. And so I rededicated my life to the Lord that night. And one of the things that stood out for me was that prayer, that time, and the reality that I did not want to leave that home. The presence of God was so rich. I don't know if they felt it, but I felt it, that I did not want to leave. And God called me to a walk with him. I'm not a professional preacher. I'm not a professional teacher. I just walk with the Lord. And he has me ushering, he has me doing this, he has me doing that, this and that and the other. But when it's all said and done, I'm just going to walk with him. And so it's out of that walk that this message, he shared this message with me. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to talk about the church of Laodicea. And I think we have a slide here. This is a map of Asia Minor. So there's Laodicea. So when this just gives you an idea. It was in the Roman Empire. And in Peter's letter, okay, it was north of Galatia. There was a church. There was a persecuted church. I would call this a lukewarm church or a prosperity church. And they coexist at the same time. And so all throughout history, you're going to see a persecuted church and a lukewarm church and all the other churches. We all coexist at the same time. So I'm going to go ahead and read the letter, and then we'll get into the commentary. With this letter to the write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so that you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit on my throne just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone who has ears to hear must listen to what the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. So the problem with the church of Laodicea is it didn't know it was the church of Laodicea. It didn't realize it was lukewarm. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about a few cultural sayings and a few sayings in the church, and I want to see if you can find the difference. Practice random acts of kindness. Is that cultural or scriptural? Okay. Fake it till you make it. The strongest single factor in prosperity consciousness is self-esteem, believing you deserve it, believing you will get it. Is that cultural or scriptural? All right. If you want greater prosperity in your life, start forming a vacuum to receive it. There is no way to prosperity. Prosperity is the way. That's probably cultural, but I heard that from the pulpit, not this pulpit. It's about the money. No peace, no money, no peace. Cultural? I heard that from the pulpit, not this one. Well, you need to hear about money, because you ain't going to have no love and joy and peace until you get some money. Cultural? I don't need gold in heaven. I got to have it now. The man who dies with the most toys wins. Anyone who tells you to deny yourself is from Satan. You'd think that'd be cultural, but that came from a pulpit. So here's the deal. There's a lot more, too. I don't have time to get into it. But the deal is when you're a lukewarm church, you have the luxury of mixing things. When you're a persecuted church, there is no luxury for that. You have to stand on the Word of God. Because, I mean, you just do. So we're going to pull up this next slide. This is going to help you understand something about the scriptures. This is what they call a scripture cross-reference chart. What that means is what you read in Genesis can be found over in another book, and what you read in Exodus can be found in a different book, and so what you read in the First John can be found in Deuteronomy. So there's this cross. As you read the scriptures, you know, there's all this stuff that's intermingled in there. Are you following me? And so when I was reading the about the church in Laodicea, I couldn't figure something out. I was saying, Lord, it says that you want us hot or cold, but not lukewarm. How do you want us hot or cold? I get that you want us on fire, but you want us to be cold? You'd rather have us be cold? That doesn't make any sense to me, because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. You can't want that. The Bible says that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. So you can't want us to be cold. I don't get it. What are you trying to say? And he told me, I felt like he shared with me in my heart, Chris, it's because you're reading the scriptures wrong. And he took me on a journey through the scriptures. And the same journey that he took me on, I'm going to take you on. So let's go to the book of Genesis. This actually ties in with a little bit what Julie was talking about. But the story of creation is, yes, it's a history story, but it's not an extravagant history story. I mean, how many of you know there's probably more going on when God created the heavens and the earth than what's actually written in the book of Genesis? But it's a theological story about creation and new creation. Let me explain. The very first thing that God did, he said, let there be light, right? He said, let there be light. So when you become born again, the very first thing that God does is he separates the light from the darkness. He calls you out of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Are you following me? The very next thing he does is he separates the waters from above from the waters from below. Well, waters, like in this scripture reference chart, is what we call typology. And typology just means that he's taking an example of water and he's really sharing with you a deeper meaning. So he separates the waters from above from the waters from below. And the second thing he does in your heart when you become born again is he separates the waters from above from the waters from below. Let me explain. The waters represent, in this case, the Word of God. So he separates the Word of God from the word of the world, the teaching of the world. And I know that's true because when you get born again, you automatically know what you're doing is wrong. When I got saved that night, I went home to my apartment that I was living in, and everybody was partying. And they're like, Chris, man, here's a beer, man. And because, you know, we were just drinking. And I was like, hey, I just gave my life to Christ. All y'all need to get saved. And they went, I knew in my heart of hearts that there was a difference between the Word of God above and the Word of God below. And I don't have time to go into all the book of Genesis, but on the sixth day, he forms Adam. And in the Bible it says, I'm praying this until Christ is formed in you. And then he says, you're free to eat from any tree of the garden. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand then as free people and do not let yourselves be burned again by a yoke of slavery. Okay? So, and then he says, produce fruit and multiply. And then we're supposed to produce fruit and multiply in our life. So it's a pattern of creation and then new creation. And so for the sake of this story or this message, we're going to talk about the typology of water and what it means with the Word of God. So in Isaiah, it says, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Do you actually draw water from the wells of salvation? No, you draw the Word from the wells of salvation. All right? When Jesus Christ walked on the water, I was always wondering about that miracle. And I'm thinking that in this typology, he was actually saying that, hey, I'm from above, I'm the Word, this is the Word of the world. And how many of you know the Word of the world, it shifts all the time? It's like the tossing of the sea. It just shifts. One year we're talking about this, the next year we're talking about that, the next year they're talking about that, but the Word of God stands forever, right? The woman at the well, Jesus talked to her, and he said, hey, if you keep drinking this water, you'll always be thirsty. But if you drink from the water that I will give you, then you'll never thirst again. Is he talking about physical water? No, he's talking about the Word. This is a great one. At the wedding of Cana in Galilee, they ran out of wine. And so Jesus says, bring me some jars. Well, it's interesting that in Corinthians it says we're jars of clay. So he says, bring me some jars and fill them with water. And then they filled them with water. Then he drew out the water that had been what? Turned into wine. And so if you and I are jars of clay and God fills us with water, then when he begins to draw it out, what is it? It's word, it's spirit, it's life. You see? So wine is representation of the spirit. So God fills us with his word, and then it works in us, and then he draws it out, and it's spirit and life. So how does this relate to the church of Laodicea? If we have, I think the next slide, check, it's going to start, the light's going to start to turn on here in just a little bit. Not this light. Yeah. So this is a city called Hierapolis. It's a little less than 10 miles north of Laodicea. And it's basically hot springs. And my family went to Pagosa Springs a couple years back, and they had hot springs there. And these people from Laodicea, really from all over, they would go to these hot springs and they would bathe in them because of their healing nature, their healing power. And so in hot springs, you know, they're rich in, I have a whole list, I'm not going to go through them all, but they're rich in sodium, which relieves symptoms of arthritis, potassium, which normalizes heart rhythms, reduces high blood pressure, eliminates body toxins, promotes healthy skin, magnesium, it converts blood sugar to energy, maintains muscle and tissue and hormone levels. Iron, it builds up the quality of blood, increases resistance to stress and disease, and prevents fatigue. And there's just so many more. Zinc, antioxidants, which promotes healing, maintains male hormone activity, and helps digestion. And so they would go there, and they would bathe in the hot springs. I think we have another slide. This is a Roman aqueduct. They're found all over the Roman Empire. And Laodicea didn't have drinking water on its own, so they had to pipe it in from the city of Colossae. And this water that came in from the mountains, it was cold, right? So you could basically drink this nice, cold, refreshing water. How many of you know when you haven't drank water for a while, you get dehydrated? And so that causes an intense thirst, dry mouth, you become tired, you get headaches, dry skin, dizziness, confusion, weakness, and even death if you haven't drinking for a long time. And so Jesus is saying something here to the Laodicean church, and I think he's saying to us, he says, I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. So the way I read this is, I wish you were hot, like the hot springs, because you can take everything that is natural that the hot springs heal, and you can convert that over into the spirit realm, and God wants to heal you. So the word of God that we share from the pulpit and in the life group and Bible studies and everything that we do in this church, it should be hot enough so that we can bathe in and get healed. And so if you come to church and then you leave, and then you come to church and you leave and you never really get involved, then how are you going to get healed? Some of the healing actually comes when you just do the little things and you just serve. But if you just come and go and you never serve, then you forfeit that healing that could be yours. It's there. It's available. The hot springs are already established. The table's been set. But what if you come to church and you're thirsty? Maybe you've been drinking of the world for a little too long and it hasn't quenched your thirst. Well, you come to the church and I know this is Bob's heart. We've talked about this several times, is that he really wants this to be a place where people come and get healed and refreshed. Amen. Are they going to refresh you in the education system? Are they going to heal you? I think it's getting a little darker in there. I think we should shed some light. But, I mean, where are we going to go? And so when he's talking about the church of Laodicea, I think what we've had is we've had a common misunderstanding that he either wants you on fire or he wants you completely the way of the world, but you can't be lukewarm. Well, I have news for you. I'm a laborer. I've worked with my hands almost all my adult life. I can drink warm water when you're working. I mean, you don't really want to drink ice-cold water when you're working because it puts a shock on your body. So it's not the lukewarmness that he's talking about. What he's really talking about is a mixture between hot springs and the cold water, because they would come in, and there's a couple different thoughts about this. I'll just go off memory. There's a couple different thoughts about this. One is that the water became lukewarm from, because it was about 10 miles, I think, from Colossae to Laodicea, so the water would be lukewarm by the time it got there. So it wouldn't be any good. But that's not right, because the Romans wouldn't build aqueducts if it wasn't drinkable water. So it can't really be that. I heard a teaching on it, and it was talking about the fact that the water or the word wasn't hot enough to heal you, and it wasn't really cold enough to refresh you. It had an element of both, kind of like what I was saying in the very beginning. You don't know what's cultural and what's scriptural. And when you have a mix of a teaching that's half cultural, half scriptural, you get this thing that's, I don't know about that. That doesn't quite sound right. When you hear a good word, it should lift you up. You should hear it in your heart. It should change you. And then there's another commentary on it, and I like this commentary. And it talks about these Laodicean members, when they would have parties, you could either serve lukewarm wine or you could serve chilled wine. And if you served chilled wine, they would chill it in snow. That was like a great honor to the guest, that he would get chilled wine. But if you served that guest lukewarm wine, it was almost like, well, you weren't honoring him. And so Jesus rebuked them because of their lukewarmness, because he's like, hey, I mean, I'm not worthy of chilled wine. I'm only worthy of your lukewarm wine. I think he's worthy than a little bit more than that. And so when I think of Laodicea, it's much like Austin in the fact that it was a thriving metropolis. They had a medical center there. They had banking there. They had a wool manufacturing plant there. They were known for really their black wool. And so when Jesus says, hey, come buy wool from me, they knew exactly what he was talking about. And this wool was like really expensive. When he said, hey, come get salve for your eyes so that you're not blind, they knew what he was talking about, because the medical facility, they created a salve for your eyes. I don't really know what it did, but apparently it must have worked on something. And then with the banking center, you know, the church of Laodicea was so rich that when there was an earthquake, the Roman government said, hey, we'll help rebuild it. And they said, no, we've got this. So they were very self-sufficient. And in fact, if you study the remains of Laodicea, they actually had marble floors. Imagine coming into a church with marble floors. That's how rich they were. One of the things that struck me about this church, that not only were they hot, they weren't not hot, they were not cold, but they were lukewarm, is that Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. And I thought, well, what deeds? What were they doing, Lord? What deeds were you not happy with? And I felt like he shared with me, Chris, it doesn't really matter what their deeds were, because I wasn't even in the building. So we can do a lot of stuff. We can worship, we can pray, we can do, we can serve, we can do children's ministry, we can do all this stuff. But if Jesus is outside the building and I picture like window shopping. If he's outside the building and he's like, I see y'all, you see me? And we're still busy doing our thing. And he's knocking. He's looking. But we're too busy for him. Would he be happy with us? You have to understand that the deeds that we do for God, the work that we do for God, we're teaching this verse in Children's Church. It says, it's in Ephesians 2:10. It says, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. And so God created us to do a good work for him. But that good work is formed out of a good relationship. It's formed out of us dining together. It's formed out of us walking together. Because if we're just doing works and he's not around, I think that that's like just dead works. It's just religion. And I think when I look back on my life, I don't know if this is the way it was or if this is the way I perceived it. Maybe both. But when I was 13 and I gave my life to Christ at the Baptist church, I walked down the altar, you know, down under the altar, I was crying and I just had a moment with God. And I don't even remember what the preacher was talking about. But as I walked with God, I think maybe my 13-year-old mind, my 14-year-old mind, my 15-year-old mind, I just saw church as a place of do's and don'ts. I saw it as a place of just people who dressed up on Sunday and then lived another way on Monday. And again, I don't know if they did or not, but I perceived that they did, maybe because I did. And I don't think the Lord wants us living that way. I think what we get from church, from the corporate setting, what we get from life group, what we get in our daily Bible reading, what we get in our daily life, it should manifest. It should be a lot of substance without a lot of shouting. See, I could shout, but if I don't have any substance, there's no weight. But if I have substance, then I could whisper and the word will go out and it'll touch your heart. So my prayer this morning, as I was leading up to this, is that the Lord would not be knocking at the door of our church, but he would be the honored guest. And not that he would just be the honored guest one Sunday, that he'd be the honored guest every Sunday, that he'd be the honored guest in our life groups, that he'd be the honored guest in our Bible studies, that we would invite him into our place of work, that we'd invite him in. You know, Julie and I, we live in an older home and we need new floors and we need new paint. We need a lot of stuff. I'm just going to be honest with you. We need a lot of stuff. But the thing is that what we have in our home, as we're going to be getting this stuff, we have something that I think is a little bit better, is that we have a presence. We have a presence. People come into our house and we've had people over and they're like, wow, why is there so much joy here? Because there's a presence. And so my prayer for us, for you, for me, for this morning, is that Jesus wouldn't be knocking on the outside, that he would really be invited in. And if you haven't made that commitment to Him and you feel like your heart is beating, He's probably knocking. And He wants you to invite Him in. Because Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word. He's the hot Word that can bring healing. He's the cold Word that can bring refreshing. And so I think we're going to go into this song, and as we do, I just want you to meditate on the Lord. Worship Him. If He's knocking, let Him in. If He's already in, thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His grace. Thank Him for His bounty in your life. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. And I don't ever want to be known as a lukewarm church that doesn't have the real Word that can heal and refresh.